Hey guys, welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast. My name is Emmanuel.
I'm Oluwani Femi.
I'm Chimgozlu.
And I'm Bolu.
Yeah, you were waiting for who first.
Always both of them.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, nice to. It's been a lovely week and
lovely.
Is it?
Okay.
Yeah, it's been stressful. Actually, I haven't slept much this week, but it's fine. We bless God for everything.
Just say we bless God.
Yeah. So, whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you think, maybe you might want to sue the angel that brought you to the country you currently live in.
What if the country is nice to them?
Then my talk does not concern you then.
Okay.
My talk is for the pinned. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, so all over the globe, I'm hearing companies are suing themselves. What's going on there?
It's funny that on a day like this, like three global companies, Amazon, Meta, Twitter, are all in lawsuits. Either they are being sued or they are suing. Okay,
or
the last time we...
Or they're about to sue.
Yes, one of the three. And it's funny because the last time we talked about Twitter on this podcast was Twitter saying, Elon Musk, you can't pull out of this deal. So we are going to sue you. So I took it to court and a U.S. judge has said, okay, there's a lawsuit here. And hearing will start in October. Yes, October, a 5-day trial. We start in October. And the judge was kind of like, Elon Musk underestimated them that they can't take litigations like this seriously. Mm. And he was like, okay, see you in court in October. So Twitter won. Elon Musk, I can't say zero. Because
zero,
Elon Musk has been jabbing. No, Elon Musk has had a lot of jabs at them.
Yeah, he has.
Right, so I can't say zero, but for now.
It's still zero. You know, you wanted to move it.
The jabs counts for anything.
Yeah, actually, okay. Yeah, he wanted to move it to next thing. He wanted
Right, so let's just say Twitter one, Elon is zero. So, moving away from that, Amazon. This one got me confused in the beginning. So, Amazon is bringing up a lawsuit against Facebook group admins, right? Okay, it was funny at first because I thought they wanted to sue Facebook groups. Then I now saw admin. Okay, so for you to be, I'm thinking that for you to be an admin, you can be sued and you can sue, I guess, for an entity that you are, because I'm still trying to understand it. But then it's Amazon and I'm like, Amazon knows better. So they should know what they are going for. Anyways, they are suing them because they've been giving or they've been promoting fake reviews about products on Amazon. Yes, so they are going ahead with that. And Facebook also, or Meta, they've been like supporting them and have blocked a number of groups that are doing this. Now, moving from that again, it's Meta suing Meta. But it's not what you think.
Okay, what do we
think? There is one Meta that has been bearing Meta since 2010.
Interesting.
And there's one Meta that became Meta in 2021. Mm. Yeah, so the Meta that has been Meta since 2010 is suing the Meta that rechristened in 2021.
Oh my
God. So they're saying they've been in talks with them since that in October 2021 that you guys... No, this is our name now. It's because we are small, Abby. They are into augmented reality, still immersive technology like that. Oh. And they are like, is it because we are small? You want to collect our name from us? Let's talk now. Let's not do this. But no. Meta, because they are big, say, you can do things. And they went ahead and then they've changed their names and they've changed a lot of things about them. So everywhere you go to now, it's Meta. And these guys are like, no, you can't do this now. Mm. Your name is going to drown us. So let's go to court. So now they are in court. Meta is suing.
I'm surprised that it took this long.
Yeah, they're a small company, you know. They are trying to save revenue in this time. And like,
yeah, but like the first time, I think a few days after Meta announced that they were changing their name, they actually, I think the CEO, he made one long thread like that.
Interesting.
He was talking about it. So apparently they had been in talks before Meta made the official announcement. So... He wanted to use public sentiments against them.
It's not about when you don't have much power. That's what you can
well,
do.
Well, I'm just surprised they took this. I mean, this is how many months now
I
since
wish
it
them
happened.
The best.
Okay. So
it's
yeah,
Facebook.
That's a brain looker battle that could be very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. But let's say we move away from the legal battles and go to where the actual war are happening. I mean, if Elon Musk has the mind, he should go there. Hang on. So, but yeah, where the war is happening in Russia, and Bolu has some interesting developments.
Okay, yeah, so we have, you know, as usual, interesting news in the cryptosphere. And
he called it interesting.
This is not interesting. So, what's actually going on now is that the Russian president has signed a new law banning the use of digital currencies as payment for goods and services in the country. So now you cannot use crypto, NFTs, digital currencies in general as any form of payment in Russia. So it's still possible to exchange, to trade cryptocurrencies, but you cannot use them as any means of payment. Like it's not legal tender, which is basically what the law is about. But the interesting thing is that Russia has always had this love-hate relationship with crypto. It's not the first time they've been saying they want to ban crypto. And it's not the first time they've been saying, oh, we love crypto. So, I don't know the kind of game Russia is playing, but it's for crypto people, it's, you know, because these things usually affect, you know, market outcomes and things like that.
Right.
Yeah. So, Russia.
It was given like a green light kind of
exactly
acceptance
so
for crypto
exactly
at that time.
Yes, and it was even recently because of the Russia-Ukraine war, it made more sense. I spoke to a couple of people, and you know, they were saying, now that, you know, because of the sanctions that are against Russia, it will make sense for them to actually embrace cryptocurrencies, which a lot of people thought, you know, they were going to do, because it was one of the ways by which they were able to circumvent those sanctions. For example, one of the sanctions against them was, you know, they could not use this global payment system known as SWIFT. So SWIFT is the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication. So it's like a way whereby banks can send money globally. So UBA sending to like a bank in outside Nigeria or anywhere in the world. So now that they don't have, you know, they can't use that again, we're like, okay,
like
crypto would just make sense. Why don't you people just start
okay.
using
so,
crypto?
So what happens now?
Yeah.
Now that they've banned crypto.
Now that they've banned crypto, you know, due to the war, we've seen the war has caused as I don't know what to call it now, but the war has, you know, kind of created this kind of thing around cryptocurrencies, where we now see crypto as a like an alternative, like a way for people who don't have the means to actually
for the less privileged.
Yeah? Was it really?
No, it wasn't really the war. I think the war just made it clearer because look at the amount of money Ukraine was able to raise. Yes, NSAS did that, but I think what happened in Ukraine blew Russia and Ukraine war.
People were able to get money.
When you compare, put them on the scale. So what is the sentiment? Do you really want to push this?
Yes, I'm about to push it.
Okay. There were millions of dollars that were raised within just a week.
True.
For Ukraine.
But then we could also see that this was a totally true. You have the Western machinery pushing Ukraine's agenda.
Yes.
And then you had just a few people who cared about answers.
No, some people coming on.
So
the war
is on a totally different scale. This is war.
Mm-hmm.
This is a protest.
Mm-hmm.
But we had similar results. People were donating money for the protest.
Okay.
And the federal government cut off those sources of funding.
Okay.
And people resorted to what?
Bitcoin.
Cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Ukrainians wanted to like acquire weapons or whatever they needed.
Mm.
They couldn't do it through traditional financial institutions.
Mm. Okay.
They resorted to cryptocurrencies.
So we're not invalidating that fact, but I'm saying put it on a scale and compare.
I still don't.
Okay, I think a way to look at it is don't even let us compare. It is just one of those cases that are exemplifying this is, you know, one of the use cases. This is one of those cases when you want to make a case for cryptocurrencies. This is one of those things that will happen that will let you know that, you know what, these things could actually be useful in this way. These things, we should not discard it, because so it's just adding to what has been done before. So if we still, if we keep seeing these things happen, it has happened with NSAS, it has happened with Ukraine, who knows, next year we might see it happen again. What I'm saying is, it's just
validating.
Proving, yes, exactly, just proving to us that, you know, this is something we should not discard, this is something
or something that we should actually discard.
Come on,
I mean, think about it, you could use it for almost anything you want. So I'm banned from using traditional financial institutions, mm-hmm. and I return to digital currencies. Now, obviously, Russia is not making more money than they were making at the beginning of the war. So why do they need digital currencies anymore? Ban it. It makes a lot of sense. Whenever it suits me, I use it. When it doesn't suit my purposes, mm-hmm. I ban it.
So it's just a nice to have.
Yeah.
Seems like it. It's giving me one vibe with African government showing that maybe they've embraced the blockchain. Right, and maybe after they've gotten people to like them, they will now ban it again. No, I'm thinking because of the analogy you made.
It's not just blockchain that happens. I mean, we saw something similar with the Lagos Okada ban in 2020. And we saw something similar with Lagos Okada ban in 2020. And we saw the Lagos State Governor
Embracing snapping picture with
Gokada and Max.
Right.
Then
a few days later,
my friend, will you get out of the streets? So yeah, that's one interesting conversation that should be had. Russia, somehow, I don't know, they've cornered their way into a very advantageous position in this war. But let's see how things play out. And if you are curious, you can look at the article that Bolu is referring to, how the Russian-Ukraine war could affect crypto adoption globally. And yes, so based on that, while you are reading that article, should you be reading the article first? You can read it after. Don't worry, read it after the whole podcast. But let's go and pay homage to the people paying our rents.
Hi, I'm Abisola Adenoga, the head of business at TechPoint Africa, and I'm here with good news. Did you know you could present yourself as a reputable brand leader? Did you know that your business could get the limelight it deserves? Now you do. Using TechPoint marketing tools, we can put you in the faces of a large audience for brand awareness and thought leadership. Begin your journey to generating leads for your business and getting instant feedback on your products and services. To know more, reach out by sending an email to business@techpoint.africa or click on the link in the description. Together, we can take your business to the next level.
Hey guys, welcome back to the TechPoint Africa podcast. I want to say my name, but I'm holding myself back.
Yes. I'm actually expecting it.
Yeah, so it's been an interesting one so far. We're talking about global stories and, of course, the relevant local context that should be had in every conversation. And the next one is Netflix. I'm kind of a fan of Netflix. Kind of.
You've not yet decided.
I've not yet decided.
Make up your mind.
I've made up my mind.
It seems they are churning subscribers. I mean, last month we were talking about the difficulties that Netflix has been having, and this time around, what the heck is going on again with Netflix?
So their Q3 ended June 30th, and apparently Netflix lost 970,000 subscribers, almost a million. So The kind of good news is that they had projected that they were going to lose 2 million subscribers and they only lost 970,000. So basically,
they preempted us. Yeah. No problem.
It's not as bad as we expected, but it's still bad. And with it, in their annual report, they also confirmed that, you know, we were talking about the ad-supported version last time. So it's going to be coming live on the platform in 2023. And if you're expecting that you watch ads and still access every content Netflix has to offer, well, sorry for you, but that won't be happening anytime soon. So some content will be available to everybody. But if you're on the ad-supported version, then you probably won't get everything that Netflix has to offer. So,
and I bet the originals will not be there.
Possibly.
The originals, logically. Why not? They should actually tease people with the originals, shouldn't they?
No, they're not teasing. You can watch them with ads. They won't allow you to watch them with ads. They are the originals.
Do you think it will make economic sense for them to allow people watch those originals with ads? For example, the originals that have a budget of around $500 million. So
it's only the subscribers that are churning that will be paying for those high-budget originals.
So should they wait there for that? Because I paid for it.
They can still make the money from the ads now.
Okay, so let's compare them to YouTube now. So okay. YouTube, you can watch YouTube content with ad for free. But then when you consider it, those contents you are watching for free, it's not as if YouTube paid those creators to create those contents.
It will be a content aggregation platform.
Mm. Exactly. So when you are directly paying for the content to be created, a lot of money, if I might add.
Okay, so basically Netflix is in wahala, serious trouble.
Well, it could be, like that. It also not be. Okay. It depends. I mean, any case for them not being in trouble.
Yes.
I don't really think there's a case for them not being in trouble, because losing 970,000 subscribers is a lot for them. So what could possibly happen is, you know, last time we were looking at some of the possible reasons why they lost those customers. So are people less interested in going out? And are people less interested in staying back at home and binging Netflix? Are they also facing more competition? Because in their report, one of the things they're saying is that they are very optimistic that the streaming market is going to grow. They still maintain a very large market share, especially in the US, sure. I think over 7%. So they are still very optimistic that that market could grow. But they also acknowledge that because it could grow, a lot of people are getting in. So they have a lot more competition.
Mm.
So, you know, you also mentioned that we might also have to look at it in context. So far, they are the only ones who have told us how many subscribers they lost. Now, we don't know if the others also lost as many subscribers. Or even if it's not. Yeah, so is it something that we are seeing? Is it that the market is not doing as well as we expect or what? So I think it's going to take a while for us to be very certain of Netflix's future. But yes, if I'm an executive at Netflix, I'm probably going to be worried. 970,000 subscribers in... this is just halfway through the year. What could it get to by the end of the year? So I'll be worried.
It's interesting that you brought up, you know, the fact that other platforms don't release how many customers they lose.
Not that they don't, but this is like 20th.
Okay.
So maybe they are taking some time to do all of that, but we can't tell yet.
But then Netflix are taking up a large part of the market. So
yeah, 7% or so in the US.
So compared to other streaming platforms. So if you want to take it will definitely reflect.
Yeah, true. Of course.
True.
And don't also forget that these other guys are just coming into the market. So it's probably good.
But then I don't want to believe that it's those competitors taking them. I don't want to believe it's like the market is just bloody.
But then I have an argument against that. Could it also be that the competitors are taking them because the competitors have better content? Because when you look at the recent Emmy nominations, Netflix originals only had 105 nominations, and compared to HBO Max, they had 140. So when you look at those numbers, it doesn't automatically mean those competitors are taking their customers, but
content-wise.
Yes, content-wise, you need to consider those.
I don't think Netflix has any series that can touch The Boys.
I know it was.
But now this sounded like unfair comparison. The Boys is, you know,
is what?
It's in its own league.
So what all the marketing with Stranger Things, what happened?
Stranger Things did well.
It did well. I think over a billion.
It even gave up to Netflix. One of the things that is giving us so Stranger Things did well. We love them all.
All right. Let's just. I think I like the way Netflix has handled the whole communications with investors and their customers. And
yes, not looking like they are worried. Don't panic.
Well, you have to project. Confidence.
Don't panic.
Yeah, you got this. So if you want to come and learn top-notch communication strategies like that, just come to Tema Elevate 1.0. July 23rd.
Is this Saturday?
Yeah, don't miss it. Don't miss it.
Don't decide to stay in your house.
Yeah. So we're going to be having really interesting conversations around this kind of spectrum. I mean, this is a very, very interesting. If Netflix says one or two wrong things in that their report, their stock prices can just crash.
True.
Considerably. So yeah, those are the things you should be considering when you're talking about communicating with the outside world, subscribers, customers, investors, and all of that. And that is something that African companies, for me, are still struggling with. Communication. If an allegation comes out, don't just tell us it is a lie. Tell us the truth.
So you don't have
defend
to
that truth.
Start stressing ourselves to figure out what happened.
Yeah, start making assumptions.
Those claims are unfounded, witch hunting, that one. It doesn't help anybody. Okay. You say it's a lie. Okay, so what now happened? Yes. So, yeah, the gist is, in the recent weeks, Kenyan government has been really, really, really brutal. The Asset Recovery Agency of Kenya is... So I was thinking that agency was like Nigeria's Economic and Financial Crimes Commission, the EFCC, but it's more like the National Financial Intelligence Unit, the NFIU. So that's any transactions in the financial sector that looks suspicious, that could maybe be used for criminal activities. These guys are the first people that will be on the lookout, right? Apart from, of course, the great CBN. These guys are always on the lookout. And what normally happens across the globe is when a transaction is flagged, the bank calls you. So, for instance, now they see 5 million enter my account at once. I know this is as sad as it is to say it, but they will call me. Guy, call me. Where did you see 5 million? And I will now explain, I've changed my job. Tell us what you do now. And I have to give them updates. Same thing applies with the company. If a certain amount of money that you feel like, how did this money get here? This company does not really transact this large amount of money. What's up? You call the company and you ask them what's going on.
As it should be.
As it should be, right? And if they are not able to answer you satisfactorily, you can say, let's start investigations against this company. What's going on and what's really happening? So, but Kenya has this interesting quirk that they don't have to wait for you to come and tell them they don't need to wait for you to explain what is going on with that money. They just go to the court and say, wait, let's calm down this account first. No transaction whatsoever.
It's going on again.
No transaction. So that is apparently what happened with Flutterwave, Corapay, and Candon Technologies. And before these three companies, there was Remex Limited, and Remex Limited was linked to also Nigerian founders before Flutterwave, before all these guys. So, and one thing that we found in common was that they are all cross-border payment companies, B2B. So, yes, any reservations so far so good before I continue?
Any reservations? I'm listening to the gist from you, please.
Yeah, just allow me talk. I'm feeling like I'm preaching.
You're giving us a
I'm agreeing with what you said, right?
No,
you're
agreeing. No, that's what I'm saying.
I agree so far. Okay, to the point that you've taken it to, I agree with you.
Okay,
It's standard practice when you find something fishy about what's going on in a person's account, you ask the person for explanation. But you said in Kenya, it's not done. They just say,
I'm not saying it's not done, I'm not saying it's not done. Like I'm not saying they don't need to do that.
They don't need to do that. If they don't want to. Okay.
Is it prerogative of...
They are empowered by the...
Yes. So, and it kind of creates room for extortion. So remember, we're saying, this the ERA is accusing Nigerian companies of money laundering. They are stealing, they are moving money around, and it's a network, an international network of money laundering operators or crime.
Yeah. International, this past week has been... In our last podcast, I was like, I feel sorry for Nigerian fintech startups. It's like, it's so sad, like, everywhere, buzz boos. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it that you have something that clears or that brings hope?
So, what I would say is...
Sure, you saw other businesses you could start. You decided it was fintech you would do.
No, no, fintech. You know, fintech is lucrative now.
Of course. I mean, no, you...
Fintech is lucrative. So, if I ever had a business mind, which I don't, it should definitely be fintech.
Of course. You will do it, but the thing is, you see the shiny part of it, but you don't see the stress behind it.
Yeah, that's it. The money they froze in front of your account.
I mean, think about running a bank alone. So, you're in charge of people's money. You have to track every transaction. I mean, it's not as simple as just... putting up an e-commerce platform, and I don't have to track what you're doing.
Like, you are liable for whatever they think they use your business to do.
Wait, e-commerce, you are liable for whatever it happens that happens on the
if someone sells, if someone decides to use your platform to sell, let's say, cocaine, for example,
you
could claim that you don't know because are you supposed to open it? I mean, so a few weeks ago, there's this... I call them e-commerce, but they kind of help Nigerians ship stuff. And apparently they had to stop shipping to Nigeria because they were flagging cocaine in some of their packages.
So they are still accountable then?
Yeah, they are accountable, and that's because it was found out. But they just had to pause. It's a different thing from, I have to monitor your transactions. So I have to know, okay, how much? Yes, they use systems to detect all of this, but man, it's hard.
Yeah, if you need to find out, if this thing could be financing terrorism, if it could be financing a drug trafficking ring.
You're pandering to regulators, you're pandering to your customers, and you just have to manage all of these relationships.
But I'm curious about something, right? Why is it like, you have something between Kenya and Nigeria? Why is it, why don't Nigeria, if these money laundering claims are really true, why are they focused on Kenya? Why are they doing it in Kenya?
Why are they doing it in
how
Kenya?
Can they do it somewhere on their land,
Zimbabwe?
Okay, so that's a very interesting point, because one of the main reasons, according to some sources I spoke to, is Nigeria's current FX regulations prevents them from making some certain kind of transactions. So these are B2B payments companies that are settling transactions for not individuals. So they are not, it's not Bolu wants to send money to someone in Ghana. It's Ecobank wants to send money to UBA. No, or UAC or Unilever. That is the kind of transactions that you'll be expecting these guys. So they're not going to be sending $1 million, $2 million.
And the Nigerian regulations are not allowing
I don't understand what's going on with the CBN. Every nook and cranny, the CBN is mopping up any loophole for you to handle dollars.
See, now,
I don't understand.
You know how we are made to all take biology classes? I think we should actually make economics classes a must, because you have to understand it if you're going to be in Nigeria. Because every week, there's something that it affects you, but you probably don't even know it affects you.
It's something that ripples.
Yeah. That's
like as little as buying something, I'm pained because I want to buy something on AliExpress and I can't pay for it. It's not, the thing is not even up to $50.
So yeah, exactly. This is for you, the individual. Look at what is happening to, let's say, Flutterwave.
And they have to settle bills.
Exactly. Yeah. Flutterwave is Uber's client in Nigeria. Uber does not charge you in dollars, they charge you in naira. That is why you can still take Uber rides. If not, once your Uber ride passes $20, you know you have to take ride again.
Oh my God.
But Flutterwave is helping Uber collect this money in naira. What Flutterwave now needs to do in some situations would be to settle Uber with dollars.
Why do they have to do that?
They need to do that, actually. You want to be giving Uber naira.
I don't understand. They want to give Uber naira.
So...
I'm asking, the money is leaving the country. Uber on their own can decide to behave like, say, an AliExpress and still charge you in dollars.
So why can't Uber make it easier for them and probably have like an Uber Nigeria or Uber Africa?
Like it doesn't have to go to the central account.
Yeah.
Even though, even like the Uber Nigerian account, we still have to remit if there is something, anything like that. Yeah. So how
that's
they
Uber
remit?
Nigeria account.
The FX regulations are still doing
them.
Yeah. So
maybe they don't have to do like an Uber Nigeria. They could just do maybe Uber Africa headquartered in a country that has maybe less stringent laws.
Okay.
And make it easier for them to remit. So maybe
isn't that what these companies are doing with Kenya?
Is it?
That's
seems
so
like it.
Yes, ideally Kenya is the more liberal country when it comes to FX. So these companies are working with partners over there that they move the money there, and from Kenya they now move it to
Europe or
any
US.
Other country that they want to move it to, because the FX regulations are kind of relatively easy. So what the ARA is saying is, this is a whole lot of money. What could be happening here? Could it be something fishy is going on? And of course, what could have happened is ARA calls them and asks what is going on. From what I gathered, Corapay, for instance, is already discussing with the Central Bank of Kenya to get their license in Kenya, so a payment
so
license.
You don't have to pass through any other person.
But it's taking a lot of time.
The money has been sitting, that money that the ARA froze, for instance, has been sitting in that account since 2021. If it was money laundering, that money would have moved. It would have been moved by now. So those are the considerations you have to take when looking at this. And yeah, Bolu, I apologize a bit for all the dragging I've been dragging you. I learned that crypto people are learning when it comes to money laundering.
I don't accept your apology. I don't accept your apology.
I'm not apologizing again. But yeah, if in case you're wondering, I learned that it's just 1% of money laundering. That is crypto. The rest,
now we are good people.
Is the
not that you're good people?
Guys,
you guys are just the new kid on the block.
Now,
people are studying them.
When African governments are saying people will use cryptocurrencies for illegal business, I'm like,
the ones that are doing under your nose.
They've been using fiat.
Their argument is legit.
For laundry,
it's not anything legit. You know what? Let's leave this discussion and end this podcast so that we can continue the fight after this. So thank you for listening to the TechPoint Africa podcast. My name is Emmanuel, and everybody here don't need to mention their name. It's been an interesting one. Let us know what you think. And if you listen to that particular snippet on Twitter, just share, comment, just let us know what you think about the whole Flutterwave allegations and all of that. So, and you can use the hashtag TechPoint Africa podcast, and wherever you find this podcast, you need to share it wherever you find it. So let me just tell you where you can find it now. Bolu, please.
Okay, you can find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and anywhere else you get your podcast.
All right.
Hello.
Goodbye, people, and see you next week.
Bye.
No, see you on Saturday. Bye-bye.
Yeah.